My man.
How's it going?
How are you?
Good.
Doesn't seem to want to copy over, so sure where the agenda is, but anyway.
Can you jump with me, Pat? No, I have. I got the email. So
okay.
Well, unless we change it.
No, we can't change it.
There's sunshine more, right?
Yep.
Okay.
You're gonna ask the question.
All good at 10:30. Mm-hmm. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Everybody's here, so I'd like to call the September 22nd meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Keith.
Here.
Commissioner Gorman.
Here.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Okay, could you all please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the September 8th meeting's minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Motion carried. Okay, at this time, we have public comment. Does anybody have public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to executive sessions. Wanted to be noted that on September the 10th of this year at 10 o'clock, there was a discussing legal matters and status update on Route 22 pedestrian bridge project. And also on September 10th at 3 p.m., there was a discussion on legal matters and status update concerning the Lewis James Fogle versus Indiana County legal case. Okay, at this time, we're going to move on to Director Stutzman. Are you on?
Yes, Commissioners. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good yes, morning. We do. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we'll have the COVID update, please.
Yes, same news as we've had for the last several months. Indiana County continues to see an increase in positive and pending COVID cases based on the last daily statistics that were provided by Pennsylvania Department of Health. In the past week, we're seeing over 43 new cases per day countywide. Testing has also increased dramatically. Throughout the last week, on average, we've been having 120 tests performed per day. In comparison to previous COVID case spikes, this past week's numbers reflect the trend that we saw last November before we hit our highest peak in early December of last year. In the seven-day period that ended on Monday, CDC reported that we're at 10.9% increases in our COVID cases countywide, although we've had a 9.5% reduction in the number of ICU patients that we currently have in the county. We continue, as does the rest of the Commonwealth, to remain in a high community transmission level. Vaccinations are still not widely sought within the county. As of yesterday's CDC data, 46% of those folks who are eligible within the county have been fully vaccinated. In other bad news, Indiana County had 5 additional deaths related to COVID in the last week. Today, I'm working with Indiana Regional Medical Center and we'll be requesting the deployment of the PA Army National Guard to support staffing at Indiana Regional Medical Center's emergency department and also at their urgent care facility in Burl Township. They've been seeing an overwhelming number of symptomatic patients coming and visiting the ER and urgent care and have had well over 100 patients a day since August 27th. 30 to 50% of those patients that are coming in are seeking COVID tests and their staffing is being overwhelmed and other patients with more serious symptoms are in that mix as well. So the continuing message in Indiana County is go get vaccinated.
There's more than 50 places throughout the county that vaccinations are available. And the only way that we're going to reduce any of these numbers is if we can significantly increase the number of people in Indiana County who are vaccinated. So that's my report for this week.
Okay, Director, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, yes. May I ask Director Stutzman, without specifically naming hospitals, is it not true that the workforce issues of all hospitals, particularly around us, are in severity of having enough workforce just to do the regular hospital patient work? So this thrust of COVID again is even more intensive with regard to numbers because they don't have the people to administer both testing and vaccinations at their site, correct?
That's correct, Commissioner. Regionally, all of the hospitals are being impacted by the lack of staffing that's available. And some of it's related to migration of staffing to larger, more lucrative positions. But it's impacting not just us here, but it is a regional impact as well. And in my discussion with Pima yesterday in relation to the hospital's request for this deployment, they said they're seeing this in other rural counties across Pennsylvania almost daily.
Okay. So my point in saying that is, you know, if people want to get tested, if they want to get the vaccination, you know, the hospital is not the only place that people can go. I mean, right, we've been saying this for weeks and months. There are numerous places that you can walk in, and of course, you know, the lines may be getting longer or more now, but that people can go other than the hospital. And I guess that's my point.
Yes, you are correct. The other thing that we have discovered through some inquiries is there's been a significant run on available test kits. Because as you know, there are test kits available, you know, through Walmart, Amazon, various other outlets that have made them available. That supply has seemed to have also dried up. So that has shown as a spike in the number of, as the hospital has pointed out, the large majority of these individuals have symptoms, but they're not seriously ill. So they're confirming their situation with that test. If there were more tests available or if they sought out other locations, we would not have this shortfall in staffing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
I would just like to say thank you for that report and offer up my condolences to the family and friends of those who have passed from COVID. And I bet everyone on this call know somebody in that situation. So just want to offer condolences and hope and pray that people will overcome their objections to the vaccination, because it really is the way, the only way this is going to be, we're going to tackle this. So if we can help in any way, please send your friends and family to get this vaccination. So thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you, Director. Okay, next part of business, we're going to move on to Human Services. Lisa Spencer, are you on?
Lisa, you're muted. There you go.
Okay, sorry about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so the first thing I have up for your consideration today is the Emergency Rental / Utility Assistance Program Part 2. This is our cooperation agreement, much like we had done for ERAP Part 1, but a second round of funding had come through. So we need a cooperation agreement signed between the county and ICAP, that is the lead housing agency for the county. And ICAP is going to be appointed as the agency that's going to administer and implement the program in conjunction with my office. So that is the cooperation agreement, and the resolution goes together. of us appointing ICAP in this partnership and also ICAP accepting to work with us again. And I can't say enough good things about ICAP and how much work they've done on the first part of ERAP. And now the second part of ERAP that's coming, it's going to be even trickier for them. So, you know, I just really want to commend all those staff members over there. They are working really, really hard to make sure that we deliver this program to the residents of Indiana County who are eligible.
Lisa, just a couple of questions for you. First of all, ERAP, we're talking the ERAP that the county was given over $5 million on the first part, correct?
Well, this is that the first part was over $5.529 million.
Right.
And just to give you a quick update, we have spent just over $536,000, so just over a half a million. About 96,000 of that has been under the admin for the extra staffing for the auditing firm and for our marketing campaign.
Right.
So the majority of the about 440,000 has gone out to help rent and utility bills. So that is that's for the ERAP 1 program. Now, the second program that we're talking about today is the amount that is coming down to Indiana County is just over $1.7 million to, and this is going to be used from whenever we get it started through supposedly for several years, as long as they don't change the rules. The ERAP 1 program did get an extension until September of 2022. So we'll have to bring something back through the commissioner meeting for the ERAP 1 to extend that, because originally it was supposed to be over in December.
Okay.
So they're going to kind of run concurrently, which makes it a little bit tricky for ICAP. So, you know, we'll just ask everyone to have patience with them because it's going to be a lot of work.
And that was my next question, is the whether there was going to be extension or this was taken over before, but you answered that.
And Lisa, do you know, and I'm sorry if I'm thick-headed on this, but as part of the 5.2 in one, is this the carryover of funds as the 1.7 in two, or is this new money altogether?
This is new money altogether. This is a separate program, and all the expenses have to be kept separated. So out of that $5.529 million that we received initially, we have all that extra money, but that the state has already asked for recertifications about where we stand with that money.
Okay.
So some counties are out of money already, so they're probably going to be asking for...
That's why I was asking.
...part of that back.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, and Michelle fought and her... I know she's on this morning via Zoom. And I know all three commissioners because we constantly talk about it, but the work that both of your offices and staff are doing in this have just been amazing, and we thank you for that.
Yes, I echo that. Lisa, I have a quick question. Can applicants or recipients from ERAP 1 apply for money from ERAP 2, or would they just continue to sort of take out of that original ERAP if they are in need of more funding?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So basically what's going to happen is ERAP funds, ERAP 1 funds are available for up to 15 months, essentially, for 12 months and then 3 months perspective. Now, if they run out of availability there, then they can go to ERAP 2 for 3 additional months, because you can only do 18 months total between both programs. So there will be no more assistance after 18 months between both of those programs. That's why it's going to be a lot trickier this time around for ICAP, because they have to match up what the requests are off of what somebody received in ERAP 1. So it gets a little bit sticky.
Understood. Okay, thank you very much.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the agreement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Next would be the agreement with the ZNA.
Okay, that's for me too. And also, because we have to keep this funding separated for EREP 1 and EREP 2, we also have to keep all of the admin costs separated. So we needed to get a second contract with the ZNA. And I have to say, they've been amazing to work with. They've really, really helped us so far. But this will be coming under EREP. Time we use EREP 2 for questions for the auditing firm, for monitoring that they're providing for us, for EREP 2 funds, that will be held out separately. So this is just making a separate contract. And we followed much the same as what we did the first time, not to exceed like a $20,000 threshold out of the admin costs. So from what we understand for the just over the $1.7 million we just received, 15% of that is going to be allowable for admin costs and for housing stability together. But since it's a lower amount, it'll be a lower amount that we can also use for that and for staffing. So we'll just have to be extremely careful about that.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we accept the agreement. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Okay, next, our planning department. Lou Anne, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lou Anne.
We are present the resolution.
Yes. Planning and Development is requesting that the commissioners approve the attached resolution approving the project scope and three-year plan of the countywide needs priorities for the 2021 non-entitlement CDBG application. Indiana County will submit for the Indiana County Food Bank Facility Rehabilitation Project for the 2021 CDBG funds. The entitlement funds for Indiana County for this year are $299,392 and is due to the Department of Community and Economic Development by October 28th of this year. And all our citizen participation requirements for project development and selection have been completed as required.
Okay, is there any questions or comments on the resolution? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Next would be filing the resolution.
Yes, same thing. Planning and Development is requesting that the commissioners adopt the attached resolution that authorizes the filing of the 2021 CDBG entitlement application to the Department of Community and Economic Development by the deadline of October 28th. The application submission includes Indiana County's CDBG entitlement and our three entitlement communities of Indiana Borough and the townships of Borough and Center Township. The total application amount is for $699,806, and our request includes approval for Commissioner Keith to sign all necessary application forms.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Thank you, Lou Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next, Josh, are you on with us?
Yeah, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you go ahead and present the subdivision and ordinance?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, commissioners. The Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners authorize the initiation of a second round of public and stakeholder engagement, as well as the formal public review and adoption process for the Indiana County Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance, SALDO. For over 4 years, staff and the SALDO Committee of the Indiana County Planning Commission have worked in cooperation with project consultants, environmental planning and design, as well as the municipalities throughout Indiana County, the general public, the county commissioners, and other key stakeholders to develop the Indiana County SALDO. This ordinance will replace the Indiana County subdivision ordinance, which was last amended in 1991. A final draft document has been completed, and the project team is ready to assist the commissioners in engaging our municipal partners, key stakeholders, and the public for a second round of outreach and engagement, as well as working through the process outlined by the municipality's planning code for formal adoption. After completing the planned second round of outreach and discussion with the municipalities, the key stakeholders, and the public, the formal adoption process will include public notice of where the draft document is available for public review and printing for a fee that does not exceed the cost to print. And we also anticipate that the county law library at the courthouse and all public libraries throughout the county, the Office of Planning and Development, and the commissioner's office to be locations at which the draft document will be made available for review. The draft document will be accompanied by a draft version of the SALDO applicant's workbook that is to be used as a guide and a supplement to the ordinance itself. Of course, the workbook is not something to be formally adopted by ordinance, but will be available for review and comment nonetheless. The SALDO itself and then other informational materials will be made available on the Office of Planning and Development's website at www.icopd.org. And there'll be more information to come regarding the public meetings, regional public meetings for the adoption process.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, I have a comment just to be very clear. We're not adopting an ordinance in any way. We are really just formally moving forward with another round of engagement with the public and doing what, you know, due diligence here to make sure that the public is very engaged. So I was part of the first round of engagement, and the meetings were very interesting. And I hope that the municipal leaders and other members of the public would really get in touch with this. This is a very responsible way to do planning and development. And we have a couple of the members from the Planning Commission on the Zoom. And I wonder if either of them has anything to say. Delbert or Josie, is there anybody? If you don't, that's okay. But if you do, we're very appreciative of all the work.
Commissioners, I thank you for having this on your agenda. And Josh and his crew have worked very hard. Delbert has been a workhorse. So I'm hoping that as we move through this, we're getting closer and closer to the finish line. Thank you for making that possible. And we look forward to coming back and having it approved. Thank you so much.
This is Delbert. I am appreciative as well of everything that the county has done to support this move on the county's part to provide a document and an ordinance that is concerned with the proper kinds of way of planning and development. And I appreciate the fact that the commissioners have been so helpful.
Thank you for your comments.
Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would also like to take the opportunity to applaud everyone that's been involved in this. Commissioner Hassan, having been a part of it, but she hit it on the head. There was a lot of work being done prior to us taking office. Of course, I got to benefit and understand that a little bit from IUP's perspective, but I agree, and I really hope our newspaper, our radio, and everyone will jump on board with the Planning Commission members and the staff. They've worked very hard, and the biggest thing about this is that our community participates in this next round and really comes out and gets educated and understand why we're doing this and that this is a true benefit for things that they will be doing in the future. So I just ask that you please give us as much on that to get people out and participating in this as we can. Thank you all for what you've done.
Yeah, and one thing to understand that this process is, that the planning office and the committee has gone through, it is a 30-year update. I mean, 1991 was the last time that the ordinance was passed. So in 30 years, a lot of things have happened since then. So, you know, we do appreciate all the time and effort that's been put into this. So hearing
no more, thank you, commissioners.
You're welcome, Josh. Hearing no more comments or questions, do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Motion carried. We'll be looking forward to those public meetings, and I'm sure, if not all of us, but at least you'll have representation from each commissioner at these meetings.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your support and involvement in this process as we move forward.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, next part of business, Director Stauffer, are you on?
Yes, good morning, commissioners. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning, Byron.
Do you want to like to make the next presentation on the ARP allocation for ICAP?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. very pleased to make this recommendation this morning, but the Office of Planning Development, on behalf of the Indiana County Community Action Program, Inc., or ICAP, their name was mentioned earlier today, very involved throughout the community in numerous ways, respectfully request that the Board of Commissioners approve $500,000 from its from the county's American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, allocation of funds for the proposed ICAP Food Bank Warehouse Project. The proposed project will be advanced as a multi-phase project consisting of the acquisition and renovations to an existing vacant industrial building located at 2131 Shelley Drive in Indiana, actually White Township. The building consists of approximately 18,000 square feet. This project site is located along the Indigo bus route and will replace ultimately the existing food bank warehouse currently located on South 6th Street, thus improving accessibility for county residents. Due to the pandemic and other economic issues, the demand for food has dramatically increased. ICAP has 17 conveniently located food pantries throughout Indiana County that operate on a monthly basis for households or individuals that are in need of food. Additionally, ICAP offers specific food programs tailored for seniors and students and offers nutritional programs as well. If approved, the county's ARPA funding will leverage an additional $1.3 million of other federal, state, and local private funding available for the proposed project. Due to the complexity of the project, including all phases of acquisition, architecture, engineering, permitting, bidding, construction, etc., we also request authorization to enter into a memorandum of understanding with ICAP for the Office of Planning Development to assist the nonprofit to deliver this project. I think it's also apropos that earlier this morning, Lou Ann and Center Township Supervisors, along with the ICAP staff, made a presentation announcing a food distribution in Center Township and Homer City using CDBG COVID funding, CV funding. And that just demonstrates the impact and the need for what ICAP provides to the community. I'm also pleased to make you aware that, as was stated earlier, Michelle Fott, Executive Director, is also participating on the Zoom, and certainly ask for your consideration of this significant investment in the food bank warehouse.
Sure, and actually, I would actually like to ask at this time, Michelle, would you like to make any comments?
Thank you, commissioners. Just on behalf of ICAP, I can't thank the commissioners enough and Office of Planning Development for all of your assistance in just helping to make this much needed project a reality. Just all of the work that, you know, Byron has putting into this and the county, and just just all of your support. I mean, we will be going from a 4,500 square foot warehouse to 18,000 square feet, which is just miraculous, just wonderful. And again, just to thank all of you for your support. And as Byron mentioned, you know, just, you know, this morning on the news, just working, we've collaborated with the county and CDBG funds, and we've sent out over 11,000 mailers to individuals in Center Township, Homer City, Indiana Borough, and Borough Township for food distributions. It's a lot of food that's coming in. Definitely the need for a new, larger warehouse is, I can't express it enough. And again, just want to thank you for your participation and just your assistance through all of this. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Mr. Chairman, sure. May I make a comment? So I would like to not only thank Byron and his team, all of the board members of ICAP and Michelle and your staff's leadership. I sort of say for myself, but I've learned my way through what I'll call food distribution vulnerabilities and maybe how it's dispersed all over the county, and your leadership in trying to bring all the partners together to work together, and particularly through COVID, was a real learning experience for me. But it also showed me truly the need that you are expressing and for what you're doing. And I think it's an excellent, wonderful project at the right time. So I wanna applaud you all and thank you for all of the work. And also all of our federal and state partners, you know, Joe Pittman and Jim Struzzi have been on top of this with us. Byron has been working this on the federal end as well. And people have at least addressed it. They may not have stepped forward to fund it, but they have addressed it with us. And the last thing that I will tell you is I was a recipient recently in Homer City of your mailer, and I was just so impressed with the mailer, but the communication and the work to get the word out to people. So I've been helping you do that, and there have been people in my own township and Homer City Borough that have asked about it. So it's really good to know that you're serving them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I will also want to thank you, Michelle, and your entire team. You just worked so selflessly and so consistently through the pandemic and before. And I don't think we can underestimate the amount of poverty and the amount of folks who are working poor in this county, and how important these programs are to help people get back and to help them get through. So I'll just say thank you very, very much for all your work.
And the comment that I have is actually actively participating in the food distribution during the COVID times with the sheriff's office. When you saw the vehicles coming through the parking lot, it wasn't just low income or poverty level. There were moderate income people also receiving that food. So it just goes to show that there was a true impact of the needs of the residents from Indiana County. So it was a learning experience that, again, don't judge, I guess, a department until you actually walk in their shoes. So I do appreciate it. So with that being said, I will make a motion to approve this funding. Do I have a second?
You have a second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Director, also for your efforts of going through and putting this all together for us. So, Director, the next part would be the County Aid Liquid Fuels allotment.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner. Before you this morning, the Office of Planning Development requests that the Board of Commissioners approve the following county aid request under the administration of the Indiana County Liquid Fuels Funding. Hereby requesting authorization to submit the necessary liquid fuels funding encumbrance to PennDOT District 10 for a total $30,800 application for county aid on behalf of Ernest Borough to partially offset eligible project costs for the Store Hill Road, West First Street Road resurfacing project. The total estimated project costs are $52,270. The proposed county aid allocation requests approximately 59% of the total estimated project cost. And as the commissioners know, Ernest has been making heavy investments in stormwater management out in the borough. And this project would also tie that in to that overall planning and development effort in the borough.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Next, Liquid Fuels County Aid for Banks Township.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners approve the following county aid project under the administration of the Indiana County Liquid Fuels Funding. Request authorization to submit the necessary liquid fuels funding encumbrance to PennDOT District 10 for a total of $26,500 application for county aid on behalf of Banks Township to partially offset eligible project costs for the Spots Road Cross Culvert Improvements Project. The total estimated project cost is $120,759.50. The proposed county aid allocation represents approximately 22% of the total estimated project cost. And again, this is related to stormwater management.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you. And I only want to make one comment on these projects. First of all, I'm glad that Indiana County is able and definitely is willing to help not only these municipalities, but other municipalities throughout Indiana County. And as taking office coming from local municipal government, these funds are needed. And I just want to make a comment on Banks Township. So I can remember, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I remember when I walked into Banks Township's office one day to meet the supervisors and to actually offer assistance. And the thing I found out about Banks Township that I did not know, and we all know that, again, I'm not bringing up the real estate tax and everything to make issue. All I want to say is Banks Township, people don't realize their funding comes from real estate tax, just like everybody else. One thing about Banks Township that I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't know, but over 70% of their entire real estate is owned by state game lands. And guess what? The state game lands doesn't pay them tax. So there's a township actually struggling. And in this matter, I am glad that the Office of Planning was able to help them out. And I know that there's other projects now that since we've had meetings that, you know, they're probably going to be asking, but you know, it's tough all over and there's only so much money to go around. But with that being said, it's how wisely you use that money on prioritizing projects that are needed. That's what this is all about. So thank you, Director.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, next, moving on, the materials only equipment purchases for Westmoreland Community College.
Yes, the next four items, so I don't repeat myself unnecessarily, but the next four items are all related to the Indiana County Education and Technology Center project, which, as Commissioner mentioned, is our tenants for that are the Westmoreland County Community College, for which these items are largely before, but then they also, the proposed Challenger Learning Center is some dedicated space there in the building as well. So that being said, the county is the recipient of a $350,000 Appalachian Regional Commission grant. And so this is being out bid separately from the original bids. And these are materials only, as the commissioner mentioned. So moving forward, the first item, item one, is for laboratory fume hoods. The Office of Planning Development and Cavcon Construction recommend that the Board of Commissioners approve the expenditure of $35,785 for the purchase of laboratory fume hoods through NIMCOM Inc. of Midlothian, Virginia, for the Indiana County Education Technology Center project. A total of two responsive proposals were submitted, ranging from the low bid, as stated by NIMCOM Inc., of $35,785 and a high bid of $42,250. This materials only purchase is being funded, as I mentioned, with ARC funding and county matching funds. And ask for your concurrence.
Any questions or comments?
One quick question. Byron, what do you remember approximately what year that ARC grant was received?
It was requested and applied for in 2019, and I think we were actually contracted in late 2020.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion for the equipment purchase of the fume hoods?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Motion carried. Next item.
Okay. This is for item two of the bid, suspended baffles. These are sound deadening that hang from the ceiling. Perform a function in classrooms and laboratories, not only for aesthetically, but also for sound deadening. And unfortunately, as I'll read here, we won't be able to advance this, but the Office of Planning Development and Cavcon Construction recommend that the Board of Commissioners reject the one and only sole bid received for the purchase of the suspended baffles for the Indiana County Education Technology Center project. Unfortunately, only one responsive proposal was submitted, and it was not opened by the chief clerk. And we would intend upon your approval to rebid it at a later date. We were hopeful to get two, but only one came in, so we will have to rebid this. So we ask that you reject this bid at this time.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to reject the bid. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same? Motion carried. Next would be the whiteboards.
Again, this is item three of the bid for whiteboards. The Office of Planning Development and Cavcon Construction, Inc. recommend that the Board of Commissioners approve the expenditure of $58,000 even for the purchase of whiteboards through Northeast Interior Systems, Inc. of Harmony, PA, for the Indiana County Education Technology Center project. A total of two responsive proposals were submitted, ranging from low bid, as stated by Northeast Interior Systems, Inc., of $58,000 and a high bid of $60,250. So very close bids. This materials only purchase is being funded with Appalachian Regional Commission ARC grant funds and county matching funds.
Any questions or comments on the bid? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Motion carried. Next would be the landscaping.
Yeah, item four of the bid, the Office of Planning Development and Cavcon Construction, Inc. recommend that the Board of Commissioners approve the expenditure of $31,395 for the purchase of landscaping plant materials through Silvis Group, Inc. of Mount Pleasant, PA, for the Indiana County Education Technology Center project. A total of only one responsive proposal was received, with the low bid, as stated by Silvis Group, Inc., of $31,395. It should be noted, which differs from the suspended baffles, that this is the second bid attempt. So the first time, we only had one or none. I don't recall off the top of my head, but so this is our second bid attempt with the landscaping to bid this project, and thus the bid process allows for acceptance of only one responsive proposal following two more bidding attempts. This materials only purchase is being funded with Appalachian Regional Commission ARC grant funds and county matching funds. And I'm sure many may be thinking, you know, why is this not local? And I just want to address that up front. I can't answer that question other than the fact that both my office, CAVCON, and Stifel McGraw, our civil engineers, attempted to reach local nurseries and landscape providers, and we were unable to get any bids locally, but the effort was made.
Well, that being said, I'm truly appreciative of you reaching out with extra efforts to local businesses in the county, because again, this is something that I personally would like to see more of in county other than out of county, but attempts, like you said, were made. No bids were actually sent in from those people. So we have to move on. So any other questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Motion
Thank you.
Carried. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next we have board appointments to the Tri-County Workforce Investment Board. Robin Marriott, would you please present?
On behalf of the Tri-County Workforce Investment Board, I'm asking the commissioners to approve the board appointments of Mark Hilliard, Gladys Knox, and John Nelson III to the Tri-County Workforce Investment Board. Term would expire September 30th of 2024, and these are actually reappointments. And they represent the business sector.
Is there any questions or comments on the three appointments?
Just a comment that we appreciate the work and the people willing to serve on Tri-County Workforce Investment Board. And just to let people know, those are the Workforce Investment Board meetings are all open to the public. And we welcome any folks who want to join those meetings to help us work on these problems associated with matching up employers with job seekers. So that's a big, big concern, topic of concern in the region. So just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
I would also like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. I've served on the Tri-County Workforce Investment Board for many years prior to becoming a commissioner. Have the fortunate opportunity to serve again as commissioner on the Tri-County Workforce Investment Board. I want to acknowledge, he's listed as John Nelson, that's correct, but we call him Jack. And Jack has served the chairman of the Tri-County WIB now for several years, and he was just excellent. So I want to thank him for his leadership, and I want to thank him for agreeing to serve again as a member. He's also trying to help fill the position, our director, Fred Fornatero, of the Tri-County WIB, who was there for many years and did an excellent job, has retired. Mary Saloni has been elected the interim, and she will do a fabulous job. It's almost like she's been trained for that for years, serving as Fred's second. And then Gladys and Mark as well. They've been excellent members. It's a lot of time and effort, but as Commissioner Hess said, for an extremely important issue and now more than ever to serve our workforce needs of our county. So thank you.
And just a formal thank you to Fred Fortunato for serving so many years in that position. But again, thank you to Mark, Gladys, and Jack for your time and efforts. And just to let the residents of Indiana County know, this is Indiana County working with two other counties and a whole big conglomerate. And again, the input from the other counties helps the Tri-County Board itself make much better regional decisions. So thank you to all of them. So with that being said, I'll make a motion of accepting these appointments. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Motion carried. Okay. That concludes our list of things for brought before the board today. Is there any other business to be brought before the board today?
Commissioner Hess, I have a few things. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
No, go ahead.
First, I'd like to announce that IUP's homecoming will take place this year. It is going to be October 2nd, which is the Saturday. It will be the homecoming parade that always begins at 10 a.m. But like always, their homecoming events begin Monday, September the 27th, and run through even the cleanup of Sunday, October the 3rd. Our Indiana Area Collaborative team, along with Dr. Driscoll, President Driscoll's leadership, is in motion with all of our community partners in getting ourselves around that. And it's been excellent. The all stakeholders meeting is planned for this year. It will take place at 1 p.m. on September 27th at the KCAC. It will be held in the PNC room and masks are required. That's open to our public. So I invite all the media, that word is just getting out, but all are welcome to attend that. And we believe that that room will maintain social distancing and all the cautions with regard to COVID right now. The other thing I would like to mention is the American Recovery Plan. We just keep you updated. The commissioners are beginning to meet quite regularly on the planning. So all of we've been getting a lot of requests from our community partners just out of their own project needs and inquiries. So we are grateful to have that input. We are glad that you are reaching to us. We continue to tell them that we keep a folder of all the requests. So they're going in a centralized place for our consideration as we begin to what we call whiteboard out the major buckets of how we can use the funding and how we will begin to timeline out community input and town halls and that kind of thing. The only other thing I will remind you, if it sounds like we keep telling you, we keep talking about this, or we're dragging our feet, we are not. I will remind you that we have until 2024 to use these funds. We want to use them wisely and we want to prioritize them appropriately with our partners and the good input of our county. So it's not like we have to use them like before with the CARES Act by December, as in all sealed and delivered. So we do have time. We're not dragging our feet. We know how quickly time does go, but we are really trying to do this right. So that's the American Recovery Plan. The only other thing I want to mention is a recovery event that's happening on Saturday. It's called Breaking Down Borders. And I love that because it's their tagline is addiction knows no borders, but neither does recovery. And this is the first event of its kind. Our Indiana County Recovery Center, Gloria Bruner, has been all over this with us, is partnering with Cambria County and Westmoreland County for the first time to really do a national recovery event with speakers and people to tell personal stories, to share and come and invite the whole family for a good day. I know that Commissioner Hess is due to speak as I am on that agenda. And of course, Representative Struzzi, having a very close personal contact with this with his brother, we will be telling his story. So it's a day of events. I believe it starts at 11. Well, actually 10 is set up, but the event starts at 11 and runs through pretty much all afternoon into the evening and would end around 6 p.m. It is down in Seward. It's at the United Youth Ball Field. And again, that's 11 to 6. And we thank our recovery center for putting this on. That's my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Hess.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning the this 25th event. There's a lot of stigma associated with recovery and substance use issues. And so we want to, and this is part of an attempt to support, and the community needs to support those folks. So thanks for mentioning that. The only thing I wanted to mention, and I just thought of it, was I attended the Indigo board meeting today, and just want to mention that they are really going above and beyond to make public transit services available to our county. And so I'll just refer everyone to their Facebook page. They are constantly updating it, and you'd be surprised at how many services they have. And, you know, that's something that we need to promote too for our workforce. Often transportation is a barrier to job seekers. So just want to commend them for all their great work. That's a board that's appointed by the commissioners. And so we're very thankful for their service. And that's all I have.
And they do have a service now to Pittsburgh, correct?
They do.
For $15. So yeah, that's pretty affordable.
For seniors, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great. Rob and Mary, would you like to make something?
Yes, just in a little bit under 6 weeks, we will be having our municipal election. That will be November 2nd. And the last day to register for that is October 18th. So if anybody wants to register to vote, they can do it either online or in the voter registration office in the basement. And also the last day to apply for a civilian absentee ballot will be October 26th at 5 p.m. The office does remain open until 5 p.m. that day. So that is the last day to register for that. So very important election coming up, and we will be talking about this in a few minutes at our election board meeting. So there's a reminder of the dates.
Okay, thank you. And just a couple thank yous to the three fairs that we just concluded, Indiana County Fair, the Ox Hill Fair, and the Cookport Fair. Attended them all, and all seemed to go well. And I think the people really enjoyed all those fairs. So just glad that now we're into the fall festival, I guess, starting today.
For sure.
So just a reminder to those people, COVID is still out there, and I urge you to get vaccinated. Testing is stepping up, it seems. So that's also available. So again, just a reminder, and I urge you to accept the vaccination if you would. So nothing else to be said. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Okay.
Those the same. Our next regular meeting will be held October 13th. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Take care.